Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. I'm Kay Thompson, back from vacation in Bermuda, and boy, we have a lot of hot news. The lead story, everyone, is the governorship of Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta is the city, Georgia's the state.
Okay, Georgia. And she's a black female, African American female, and her name is, I forget her name, we just had it on the, what is the name, Stacey, what?
Stacey Abrams. She won the Democratic primary for the state of Georgia to run for governor.
Okay.
Could potentially be the first black woman to governor.
Wow, okay. So we congratulate her on her, on what?
You might not have heard me. Repeat.
We're talking about the lady who's running for the governorship of Atlanta in Georgia. And her name is, you can give me that name again, Eric.
Okay. It's going to be Stacey Abrams, everybody. She won the Democratic primary for the state of Georgia to potentially become the first black female governor in the state in the United States ever.
Oh, okay, fine. And that's wonderful. So we, you know, all are supporting her, I'm quite sure. We still have a clip of her on the on radio. Television right now, and you know, look, she knows her stuff, and she seems to be a powerful woman who's not no nonsense person with a great deal of background and information. She will probably become one of the most powerful women in the United States in a spot like that.
All right, great. And you're Kay Thompson Live once again. If you didn't get it, welcome to the Kay Thompson Live show. It's that time on a Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock p.m. I'm commonly known as the Sun. Also, Citizen Payne to some of you, Eric to others. And yes, we have the potential for the first black female governor in the United States. And you're right about that, that Stacey Abrams is a very sharp individual. She was running against another woman in the Democratic primary named Stacey, white woman, Stacey Evans. But both were good Democratic candidates. And ironically, I was watching the news yesterday when they showed the they were showing the candidates and did a little news spot. And they showed the two candidates for the Democratic primary, two women, one black, one white. Then they showed a picture of the candidates for the Republican primary for governor, all white men. So it was just a real stark thing about let you know really where we still are in the United States. Let's go in. I want to open the mic and welcome one of our co-hosts, Mr. Byron Saunders. Byron, how you doing today?
It's another blessed day in paradise in Atlanta and Georgia. Now, just to make sure we all know about the significance of this, historically, the city council president of Atlanta, Georgia, and the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, are African American women. The mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, is the great granddaughter or is granddaughter of Major Lance. The Motown singer.
Major Lance.
That's right.
Give us a little history. Those that might be a little bit younger than 60. Major
that's
Lance.
That's a little bit of right. That's the history.
Major Lance.
Yeah, Major Lance was a singer from the Motown stable, and he lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was, he is of our cultural background, our history. Major Lance, Monkey Time. That's
all
the
right.
Song he
well,
sang,
also,
Monkey Time. Yeah, I mean, made it very, very famous. And so,
okay.
I mean, that was a
well,
little bit of your, ahead of your time there, Eric. But
Right. Also, too, we,
significant
we also,
history.
we'll appreciate that. And also, too, you know, Atlanta, the current mayor of Atlanta, a female, is not the first black female mayor of Atlanta, as you know.
That's
I think
right.
It was Mayor Franklin,
Shirley
if I'm
Franklin.
Not mistaken. Shirley Franklin.
Yeah, Shirley Franklin.
So
yes.
Atlanta has had that history before. So hopefully we can get a female governor. Let's welcome also our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing?
All right, gentlemen, and Kay, if she's there, how's everyone?
Doing fine.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Okay. All right. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Lots going on, huh?
Certainly is. You know, it's
are
been an interesting
out?
Week. I guess we all have been mesmerized by the royal family and all the manifestations of what occurred over the weekend. And hopefully, at least the world seemed to be healed for all but a couple of minutes that day, I have to say. I don't really pay much attention to it, but it made me think. And, you know, the influence in the because I'm of Caribbean descent, this has tremendous impact on me because the British Empire had such an influence throughout the world, particularly in the Caribbean, that and the Spanish Empire. I mean, I know what happened here in the States, but, you know, to a certain extent, some of the mindset is still locked and trapped in that era, depending upon what island you're from, you know. But all in all, I'd like to think things are getting better, you know. I mean, for at least a couple of days, Donald Trump's name wasn't on the front page of the headlines, you know, that's
hey,
it. But what can I say?
Hey, Ray,
I heard you all talk really
briefly. I mean, you brought up an interesting point that I wanted to jump on real quick, and that is the notion or the feeling of the British Empire by a lot of Caribbean areas, Caribbean islands and places that basically are colonies. You know, my mom just got back from Bermuda, which is under the British Empire. And,
right.
And, you know, I'm wondering what the, you know, these colonized areas, what's the kind of feeling towards the empire?
You know, I tell you, I'm trapped in two worlds because I grew up in the States, and, you know, I tried my damnedest to the point of actually shaming myself to identify with this culture because my parents at home were, you know, hell-bent on me appreciating what they came to the States for, but to embrace what it is that they grew up under. And, you know, I could never understand, you know, that dichotomy until I got older and I realized, well, this is all part of the American experience, you know, the slave trade, the Middle Passage, what went on with this country is a different dynamic. But Britain ruled, that family ruled most of the world at one point. Same thing with Spain. I'm descendants of Trinidadians, and Spain had Trinidad at one time. France had it. Great Britain had it twice, and it ended under British rule before it became independent. And we're talking 1961, 62. That's within my lifetime. And, you know, there was this thing. Yeah, we had independence, but there was a lot of, and forgive the expression, I can't think of anything else, but a lot of blank kissing to the royal crown even after they received independence. So, you know, it's like, you know, be independent if you're going to be independent, you know? Be Fidel Castro if you're going to be different.
Okay.
you know?
Okay, Wayne.
I don't know,
okay.
But that's just my thinking. And
Wayne.
Go ahead.
Yeah. That's great. Glad to have. I'm glad to be back and glad to be talking to you. But hey, you know, the center on the female in the strong power of a black female. Okay, center on the strong power of a black minister and a choir that was out of this world. Okay, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
not a joining of people. I'll never know what it is. You had some of the the people who consider themselves the most important people in the world there. So, and it was absolutely crowded. It was wonderful. And Megan was beautiful. And no one should even doubt her for 1 minute. Give her a break.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think you're doubting
Kay,
go ahead, Byron.
I was just going to say, and really of even understanding more of the significance of that single moment. Our history is like it was made like no other time during our 241-year existence of our nation Meghan Markle is the Duchess of Sussex and is the first Black American princess to be married into the House of Windsor. Okay? And remember this. Of
they would have chopped somebody's head off for that 100 years ago.
That's right. Of the historic note is that the borough of Queens, New York City, was named after King George III's wife, who was Queen Charlotte, who was of African descent. And most Americans really don't know their history. Today, that wedding was the completion of a full circle wherein by all of our newly proclaimed Duchess of Sussex has brought back to England its return in reverse the efforts of its colonization. And also of note, you got to really play this all. The history is incredible, what happened on last Saturday. Also of note is Meghan and Harry bonded their relationship in Botswana, where if you know the history of that nation, previously under British rule, was liberated by King Setse Kama, who was married to a white British commoner in 1966. Also, the date of the wedding was the birthday of Queen Charlotte. Historic date of Queen Charlotte. That was not an accident. That was planned along with the minister from the Episcopal Church, the bishop, whose message about love was so incredible. Imagine that, giving that message to all some of the most important luminaries in the world, and really his message put them all on notice. Because they
Queen Charlotte was the other biracial queen that married into the throne, right, if I'm not mistaken. Her being the Duchess of Sussex, what I was seeing that the Earl of Sussex, way back when, I guess it was the Earl or Duke of Sussex way back in the 1800s or whatever, the actual person of Sussex was known for being an abolitionist. I saw that as part of the news, too. The Duke of Sussex or whatever his name was, Sussex. He was actually an abolitionist, so all of that is, like you said, it's full circle and comes back. You wanted to say.
Also, I remember seeing, when I was on WRBBLS, you may remember this, Wayne, that I talked about the early history of the Black Queen in British history, right?
Yeah.
And I've tried to find a lot more information, but I remember that distinctly. And as a matter of fact, later on, there was footage that I found from somewhere that I have been looking for, and I have not been able to find it. So there was a Black queen that was not recognized, who came aboard. When I say aboard, I remember that there being this big ship, the picture of a big ship, an old, one of these old, galleons or whatever, with this queen on it or something. So I want to find
the current Queen Elizabeth.
What I do, I'm going to talk about it on the air. Yes?
And Kate, the current Queen Elizabeth is the great-great-granddaughter of the Black Queen Charlotte.
Ah, okay.
That's right.
Oh,
okay.
Got it.
Yeah,
so
got
she's
it.
A,
there you go.
She's of mixed race ancestry too.
Hello, there you go.
Okay, I mean, but the deal is, I give you kudos there, Byron, because this is something I was not even aware of, and they made such a spectacle of this miscegenation process being the first time. And these people are deeply rooted, like the Thomas Jeffersons in this country. And it's like, why? It's not something that should be hidden, But you would, and I don't, for women to think that, as I said a few minutes ago, that 100 years ago, something like this would not have been brought out. Unless somebody did the historical analysis, the genealogy analysis to find out exactly. And I'm looking on the computer now of the face of Queen Charlotte, and I could see where there was, a mixture there. But, again, you don't know. And there have been times when many of us have been in a situation when we pass, So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, of course, we want to make it pass. And a lot of history, you know, a lot of history that deals with us or that includes us that has been trying to a lot of our history, a lot of history that includes us, that shows that we were there when people choose not to highlight whether we were there.
Exactly.
Or not. You know, a lot of that history, it's kind of like, you know, you got to be in a room. You know, if you wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
People back in the day that probably saw Queen Charlotte were probably like, oh, she looked like she got a little flavor in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not in the room to know this, then this is our history, and this is how these pictures and these paintings, you know, it's just like how traditionally, and I'm sure you guys grew up with this notion of someone like Beethoven, assuming that he's completely white, right?
Was black.
And if you don't know the history of these individuals and you allow these other people to tell the story traditionally over these years, well, I always say this, and this is my go-to thing. If they did it to Jesus, everything else is up for grabs. You know what I mean? So unless you're someone who happened to be there to witness certain things, like those people were there in that wedding to witness witness this black woman or this mixed race woman marrying this prince, and to see his mom over there sitting there. And when you look at the royal pictures, the official royal pictures, to see this sister who's clearly black standing up in the picture with the royal family with her dreadlocks is really something that's remarkable. And also, too, the black woman chaplain who spoke, I saw that, and this is per Whoopi reported, this Whoopi Goldberg on The View, that was actually the queen's chaplain. So the sister with the short hair. So that was actually the queen's chaplain. So there is a lot of involvement in there with the diversity of the citizens of Great Britain. You wanted to say, Mom?
Yeah. You know, this is a new era, and it's going to mean a lot to for students in school, black students, white students, all kinds of students, because now they'll actually know the history or be better informed of the history. When I was teaching when I was teaching in the school system, I spent an awful lot of time, with the contributions of our black folks, kings, queens, all kinds of, publicity, not publicity, but history. And if you remember correctly, Wayne, over at WIB, we were really in the forefront of talking about, black history. Gary Bird, Wayne Gilman.
Not to cut you off, Kay, but there was always a lot of it, and Professor London Jeffries, I wish he had a moment just to chime in, but the deal is it was always from an African perspective. I mean, that we were descendants of royalty, kings and queens. There's no mistaking that. But when you cover this up, like the Queen Charlotte phenomenon, I didn't know about that until Byron just mentioned it, and I didn't understand the connection to the county of Queens, until just now. And then the deal is that these people have been looked upon for years as, and I don't know if it's because of the culture, the European culture, but they are the, in my estimation, the epitome of white culture, I still think it's remarkable that these people are still provided a standard of living based on what the current government of Great Britain, which is not under the Queen's rule anymore. There's a prime minister, there's a whole separate different thing going on when it comes to England now, but they're still supported by this,
That's a little bit different area than the actual wedding, but you're right that the point you're making is the antiquated notion of the monarchy, right? Is that where you're going with it? Okay,
exactly.
And that's something that all of us wonder too, but I mean, that's how they're rolling over there. I mean, the whole historical aspect, getting back to the historical aspect of not knowing who these people are, knowledge of self, right? I mean, that's certainly in this country and in all of the world, we've been denied knowledge of self. And that was the good news that was being that you guys were sharing at WLIB and other black-owned radio stations and media outlets, knowledge of self. You know, if you don't have the knowledge of self, you know, that's why they're able to. That's why these ignorant folks walk around that want to be racist, that think that black people are ignorant and all this. This is ignorance and uneducated and uncivilized people who think these things, right? We know that. But unfortunately, they've hidden that from us, you know. They've hidden it from us, and we've, you know, and all of the other ingredients that have gone into that, you know, into that stuff of hiding it from us, you know, we not wanting to read and all of that, all of those various points of it. I'm reminded of, and maybe you guys remember Richard Pryor's show back in the day when they messed around and gave Richard Pryor a prime time show, a prime time series.
Exactly.
Remember that? It was a variety.
That was,
and you remember
that was a
there
big
was one
deal.
Particular. There was one particular skit where they were on an archaeological dig, where Richard played a character who was on an archaeological dig. You know where I'm going, Byron, right? And the scene was they went in there and they discovered some ancient artifacts which suggested that the original man was in fact black and of African descent, right? And so there's Rich and there's two white actors and they say, "Wow, this is a discovery," nah, nah, nah. And Rich is like, "Wow, what? Wait till I get back home and let the brothers know, and this is something, this is fantastic, man. We've been thinking all this time." And the two white characters look at each other, and they start backing out of the tomb, right? They're going to lock Rich in the tomb because he's getting ready to run out with the information and let everybody know. But they're like, So they back out of the tomb and, you know, seal the tomb and whatnot. But so that's what I'm reminded of when you talk, when you bring up those points, Wayne. It's hidden, right? They don't want us to have knowledge of ourselves.
They don't
like
want to know.
Right. You know, find out that all life originated in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, some people, their heads explode because, I mean, you talk about someone's whole belief.
No,
system,
no,
right?
Man, that's fake news, brother. That's fake news, you know. It's like like the NFL, you know. We don't want you standing up during our ceremonies. You know, either you sit in the back, or you know, or all of a sudden now you can't even sue your boss anymore. It's got to be handed to arbitration. Well, it's all coming together now.
That's something separate, but it's always been fake news, right? It's always been fake news that black people, second-class citizens, are subhuman. That's always been that's the original fake news, that we were subhuman, that we weren't human, that we didn't. So it's always been fake news and lies from that perspective, and the knowledge of self that has been denied of us, just like denying us to read. So now when it's there for the world to see, and the exchange of information, it cannot be denied and cannot be curtailed, but to a certain degree. So you have to call that information false, right? Because now Trump is on blast, right? Trump is on blast now because everybody is able to see the information and exchange information and expose his lies. So that stuff is on blast. You wanted to say?
Yeah, I want to say, you know, get into this into this area. I want to talk more about black women. You know, and one thing I want to mention, Glenda Taylor. Do you remember Glenda Taylor and Wayne?
Yeah.
She wrote Jalapeno's Drum and a whole lot of other things. She wrote Wannabe Starting Something, Michael Jackson, Social Activist. African-American Female Entertainers. Just let me read you just a brief thing about the cultural historian Griot's record in history. And the name of her book is Jalapeno's Drum, which I just mentioned by my friend and reader, author. She's got about 30 degrees. Glenda Taylor, who's right there in New York, you know, Manorville. You might not want to say that, Manorville, New York. She mentions in her book that the reader is captivated by the autobiographies of such powerful women as Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross, Diana Carroll, Sissy Houston, Etta James, Ruth Brown, Whoopi Goldberg, and others, Lena Horne, Marian Anderson, Nina Simone, Eartha Kitt, Josephine Baker. I read that again. And there were a lot of them played a significant role in the civil rights human rights movement. So they're unique and direct. And their perspectives, you know, were very powerful. And she writes in the Jalapeno's Drum, it's an educational and entertaining journey through early 20th century American. Now, I've had to go into Tehran a number of times, and of course, he is a noted, you know, historian, and more degrees than I can remember, you know, to her, you know, credit. And her voice vibrates to the rhythm of the New World aesthetic. So therefore, you know, this is like the culmination or part of a culmination of world involvement, of world love, of humans being human. And we have to really celebrate that and not let people know.
Mm-hmm.
But never let them forget.
Right.
Exactly.
And also, too. Yeah, and that kind of segues into this kind of thing you're talking about, the black women. But I mean, we've got a huge victory last night in Georgia.
Yes.
For Stacey Abrams,
mm-hmm.
like you talked about at the top of the show, potentially could
mm-hmm.
be the first African American
mm-hmm.
woman to become governor
yes.
in the United States. So that's a huge thing. And they're saying that I just heard briefly on the news earlier that some people saying that she's using the Obama coalition. You know, she kind of has that appeal and stuff. And then, and if you hear her speak, I think that she has a good appeal to people and good cross section. I don't know if you guys are aware. I'm sure you guys are aware of that election. If you have any thoughts about that, the potential of a sister becoming the governor of the state.
And if not, if you don't have that. If you don't have that information, you can go on to PBS this morning. And last night they were talking about the governor, the black governor,
right.
black female in Atlanta. And she's powerful. She's a
well,
very powerful woman.
I,
so we have to keep up
I
with
I hope
her.
It's a slam dunk for her. I hope that it seems like as if, based on you know, the polling outcome last night, that she may have it. I don't know how strong the Republican Party is going to. The Republicans are in for a realignment this November period, you know, and I it would be breathtaking if we could just have a female, you know, as in a leadership position in that particular part of the country, you know, because hopefully that would sound the death knell on the rest of what's going on in the South. With respect to what Trump is trying to achieve, and it you know, the damage is slowly already beginning to take effect, and I just hope that it's not too late, that we see the follies of our ways. I mean, despite putting aside the whole Russian investigation and the impact of what the former Soviet Union did, that's one thing. But, you know, the deal is that we need to wake up. This midterm thing coming up in November, it's a life and death situation. The fact that, you know, we're spending more for gasoline, it's going to be harder to heat one's home come the fall because the price of oil, which is always predicated on the vagaries of the world politics, you know, is going back up after Obama was able to stabilize stuff. This nonsense yesterday with Gorsuch, his hand-picked appointee to replace the Italian guy who died on the Supreme Court, forgive me. You know, it's bad when you get old because you start thinking all sorts of stuff and you can't remember names. But the deal
yeah,
is
yeah, Scalia.
Scalia,
what
you're right, exactly. You know,
what
Gorsuch. No, I mean, the fact that... you know, it was so easy for him to propose that no longer can you sue your employer if that has to go through arbitration. I mean, that is something now that, you know, I don't know what the civil rights community is doing about this or saying. I haven't heard too much talk about that. But that's something that, you know, that's to save big business. It's like, I work for you. I can't take you to court if I know there's any illegality going on, I have to call a union rep. What makes that, or not even a union representative to arbitrate, what makes that so demeaning to me is that when it comes to punishing anything that is considered an impropriety, you want to hit them where it hurts, and it hurts in the pocket. And a lot of these people, a lot of these agencies that have been sued, they have the money, you know? And I think they, even with what's going on now this weekend with Starbucks, you know, it's almost like window dressing. And, of course, the two brothers who made a commendable effort and was able to give that money back and donate it to a program to inspire young people of color to start their own businesses. That's one thing. But a lot of these companies have been looking for that pass, and this man just let this thing through. You know, God forbid what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, the ability to sue one's employer, I mean, that's a big thing, and it's one of the myriad of things that we need to keep our eye on. I mean, if you look at the banking regulations also yesterday that he relaxed, you know, made it easier for the deregulation, cut back on some of those rules. So, I mean, those are all things that we need to keep our eye on. I mean, the most glaring thing is that this man is attacking the institutions of intelligence. You know, you had James Clapper come out and talk about, you know, excerpts from his book are saying that really Trump is one of the worst presidents. I'm paraphrasing to some of the stuff that he said. One of the worst presidents, that he seeks to use his office and use the presidency for his own purposes. And basically was saying that this guy is out for himself and is bringing our country down to a point that it's never been before. So
exactly,
certainly him attacking him and his accomplices, attacking the FBI and trying to, you know, this meeting that they were going to have where they're going to reveal some of this information, and Republicans not wanting any Democrats in the meeting. I mean, it's just bizarre. This is a Watergate territory. But I've always said that it's a race. Can he put enough people in place that are going to be accomplices and collude with him? And that's what the whole thing is, you know, trying to get rid of Rosenstein or do all kinds of things to make Rosenstein resign. He's trying to put people in place that are going to be accomplices. That's why from early on, not to support his agenda, to be accomplices in his criminal organization, because the activity he's engaging in is criminal. And if you can, you know, that's why I said, you know, the whole report about Leslie Stahl when she was just talking to Judy Woodruff, right? Talking about when Trump was running for re-election, that it's preemptive. He says these things about the press because it's preemptive. He, like he said, because I want to make sure you guys have no credibility, so when you say negative things about me, no one will believe you. So that, from the very beginning, says what this man's objective is to discredit those that might disagree with him, discredit those who might objectively be watching him, which he's always been doing. And being a rich dude that hasn't been a part of the political process, he's been able to do whatever he's wanted. Everybody knows this guy's been shady, a shady businessman that you had to watch over years. It was just Donald Trump was you know, he was one of them dudes, rich asshole guy, shady kind of businessman, millionaire, kind of had this rep to people who were kind of, you know, not deep thinkers, of being this remarkable businessman, and certainly people who didn't live in the New York, New Jersey area, thinking that this guy, believing that this guy is the end-all, be-all, and that he actually is a legitimate businessman and brilliant. And come to find out, you know, the rest of the country is seeing him for who he really is, just like we've already known, always known who he is. So, I mean, it's not surprising. It's just surprising, I guess, to the extent that you have actual legislators going the lengths that they're willing to go through to be accomplices in this, because it's really an attack on our institution, on American institution. These people are attacking the institutions that people put a lot of faith and trust in, you know?
Yeah.
And the real thing, us as African-Americans, we saw what the FBI was used as back in the COINTEL program days, right?
Exactly.
So we already have a natural kind of suspicion against law enforcement agencies in the United States since they were used to oppress us. So, I mean, kind of, you know, it's kind of, let's wait and see what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what you guys think.
Well,
on that.
I mean, it's sad, but I mean, the deal is it goes back to that expression, if they come for me tonight, they're coming for you all in the morning. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. It just doesn't seem to end. And we have a responsibility to make sure that the message and the word goes out. You know, this is just, you know, we just can't stand on ceremony and think that, you know, there have been improvements made. And this man is really trying to turn the clock back, you know. I mean, I'm still amazed at the NFL coming up with this decision today that you can't go out and express your,
exactly,
your opposition politically without even calling a person of color to be a participant in the board meeting where they made a decision that is, again, you're going to be fined if you go against what's expected, you know?
Right. And I'm wondering,
it's
I'm
crazy,
wondering if they choose, you know, I mean, also, too, you know, they can choose. At one time, I don't know if they changed the rules, but at one time, you know, if they choose to come out of the locker room, because they didn't always come out of the locker room for the national anthem.
Right. Right.
So I think around 9/11 is when they started doing that, making it a practice. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that all the players just decide to stay in the locker room and come out afterwards.
Well, they gave you the option that you could stay. That was the one thing. But I wonder, again, you're right, but I wonder how that could fly. It doesn't mean that you're anti-American because, you decide to kneel. You know, but they don't get it. And, again, this is another one of Trumpisms that, you know, he was able to carry that ball across the goal line. And already, I mean, there seemed to be sympathy at one point for the black players who were out there protesting, you know, and now all of a sudden it's a sin. We're making it a sin, you know?
Well,
I
mean,
one of the things that I'm going to find extraordinarily interesting over the next several weeks now that the attack that is being made against the Justice Department, of course, this is a byproduct of this NFL piece, which is really an attack against the First Amendment rights. It will ultimately end up going into the Labor Relations Board because the union is not going to stand for that, first and foremost. They've already pitched their tent and saying absolutely not going to happen. Second thing is, the word that has not been pushed in the Fourth Estate's domain yet, it's starting to trickle in because ultimately we've heard nothing but collusion. That's not the word that needs to be engaged now. The word is treason. And when you go to the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Code, 2381, the 18 U.S. Code defines treason as such. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under this title but not less than $10,000 and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Now, what's engaging is that Mueller's investigation is not just about collusion. Collusion is not a crime. Treason is. Obstruction of justice is.
And collusion
and
is
when
hard
you
to
begin
prove.
To, well, collusion is not hard to prove. It's been proven. The fact that they intentionally engaged in distorting the African-American community to engage in voter suppression, knowing that only 1% of the black electorate not showing up in the swing states would be a determining factor of who would win this election. That's collusion. We don't even have to worry about that word anymore. The word
that's going to come into play is
treason.
Well, I mean, I understand your point, but I mean, the thing is that, again, there's no empirical evidence. And it's almost like, in a way, Byron, not for nothing, but I mean, it seems like as if we don't have minds of our own. We knew what was it. A lot of us should have known what was at stake if we didn't come out. That's my problem with the community.
The empirical evidence is right in our face, under our nose. The empirical evidence has already been determined by the 17 organizations that protect our country with respect to national security issues. Their research and study concluded that the Russian engagement, its intent was to get Trump elected and to defeat at all costs. That's a statement that's already been secured by the national security agencies of our country. So,
well, then
that's
in that case,
the
Mueller, investigation should be over with now. I mean,
well,
it's time to file charges against this man.
And they will, but it cannot be. Hello? It cannot be. The investigation can't be brought to closure yet because the treason goes all the way up to Mitch McConnell. It goes all the way up to Paul Ryan. It goes all the way up to Priebus, who was the chair of the National Republican Party. There's so it can't just be on Trump alone. He's just a puppet.
No, I know, okay? But I mean that. But and trust me, even when they find something on this man that is binding. You know, we're not wiping the slate clean. The Republican Party will not allow that to happen. I'm sorry.
We're going to see.
You know,
so,
I don't know. I mean, it would be great
keep
if that could happen.
Keep electing the black women. Keep electing our black women politicians. I agree with Kay. This is a historic moment in which Stacey Abrams has engaged us to really move forward with an agenda that will flip this time and period of our nation. Because if we don't, we're in the vortex of an abyss so deep that this empire will end in a
hello,
decade.
Guys. Okay. Let's take a little break here. Let's get back to a more pleasant topic. Let's talk about the significance of that choir at the wedding. Okay. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the minister. Okay, who gave that message, which I thought was absolutely tremendous. I'm so tired of Trump and politics and, us not being able to get ourselves together. So let's keep it on a fairly likable topic for a little while longer. All right? And
but we are getting together.
Yeah, we are, and we're going to stay together.
We are.
Remember
we're
Dr.
coming
Len
together.
Jeffrey? Remember Dr. Ben, Dr. Van Sertima, Dr. Clark?
Dr. Ben, yes.
You know? Hey. Well, and the dynamite women. What about Shirley Chisholm? Do you remember
her?
Yeah,
were
great.
Where was she from? She resided in
Barbados. Barbados. That's where
she lived in Brooklyn. Who plus remember I interviewed her on the airway? Yeah, and she was dynamite. This little short woman, and she had a loud voice, a wonderful voice. So we have so many people who are so talented, and I get so sick and tired of some men, they're in politics, but the women, we're pretty powerful. You know, we endorse those politicians who
are fair
to everyone. I totally endorse and support those athletes for taking a stand. And I understand that the money aspect is an important element of it, but how dare you insult one group without the other? And they deserve a lot of credit for taking that stand by not standing.
Yeah. It's, the world is, I don't know. I think we're realigning ourselves for the better. It's just, I'd like to think there's a correction about to take place. And, every day, not to go back to the other stuff, but, I'm just so sick and tired of being bombarded by the old news cycle and not seeing it. I know we're getting closer, the Giuliani thing the other day about he thinks September is going to be the month in which things are going to become unraveled. But, it can't come fast enough for me, It cannot come fast enough for me.
Every time I say Giuliani's name, I try not to say
it.
But he was a total joke.
Yeah, he is. When I think of Giuliani, I remember the Inner Circle dinner when he dressed like a girl. And I think of I see him in that pink dress with the blonde wig on.
Mayor Giuliani.
That's the Rudolph Giuliani I know.
Yeah, he used to say bad things about me on the air. So, Mr. Giuliani, I got you by the
And Mr. Bob Grant.
Pathetic. Oh, Bob Grant. Bob Grant was my butt. I can't describe Bob Grant. He was not only insane. I could have torn him to bits, you know that. But anyway,
well, you know, sometimes when you hear somebody constantly publicly ridicule someone, you kind of wonder if there's some sort of love relationship going on in between all that, you know. And I'm not saying that that you were encouraging that, Kay, but, you know, it was the back and forth. You never know. You never know.
I'm so glad you weren't, because I would come through this phone at you, Wayne. I'll tell you. That drip. But that was a fun days. But we really covered some really hot political issues, and that was the height of, you know, the things that we were going through.
Yeah.
When I think of, you know, Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and what they were going through with the white community, or I think about incarceration rates, you know, in New York alone. Remember when Ali Al-Rahman arranged for me to go out to Rikers Island? And, you know, that was such an education that I would rather have not gone. But I'm glad I did, because I got to see a world that I never even knew existed, you know. And with all the incarceration rates and the majority of black men, were they all guilty? Hell no. They're guilty being black. Yeah, they're guilty because they had the wrong color. Let's face it. You know, racism is still alive and you know, flourishing in some areas. And now we have a president who is encouraging that. Very dangerous.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, what we went through was one thing, but I think it's gotten worse now. I mean, it's like the clock is slowly going backwards, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not even slowly,
but we're
it's
ready
just
for it.
That there's an agenda, you know? So we have to prepare ourselves.
But that's why we have to be ready for it.
Right.
At any time. And
I'm looking for a rich retiree, Kay. I mean, that's.
We don't want that.
I need somebody to take care of me. I'm tired of fighting. No.
All right, Wayne
Gilman's
not going to give his phone number out, let me. You hear that? Wayne Gilman's not going to give his phone number out.
I need a rich retiree. I tried
Wayne,
okay, but I'm not good enough. Yeah.
There's hope, because guess what, Wayne? There are more women than there are men in this world.
I don't mean to turn this into a. You know, a Dr. Phil moment, but, you know, it's just like it's frustrating. You know, I used to hang out on Second Avenue all the time looking to find somebody around by Trump Towers or somebody, but, you know, I guess.
Wrong location.
I'm on the wrong corner, Byron. I think I need to get into acting. I think you and Eric got it covered. I mean, I saw some old clips on Eric the other day, you know, when he was much smaller. What was it? I was in Best Buy. It was one of those Spike Lee whodunit movies. Oh, geez, man, my mind is like mush tonight.
He would know that.
But you know, I need to take an acting class or something. You know, I think there's a little bit left in me for something like that. You know?
Yeah, you need to ask Eric about that. He can, you know, really. You know, and tell you what to do and how to do it.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's still involved.
See, I can't
acting.
Go to my family with that, because, you know, I'm an outcast in my family. So I'd rather work with people who are not related to me. I get better respect that way.
Yeah.
So. You know.
But you know, when we're involved in something like discussing Trump, you know, it is. It's a painful discussion, because I can feel the dislike, and I don't want to say the hate, but it's bordering on hate, because you can see what he stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Can you spell racist?
Yeah.
Intense racism, intense, dangerous racism. You know, he could destroy this country by himself.
I'm hoping at some point that I could get the phone number again of one of the Central Park Five. This one brother who's always at the National Action Network, you know, making appearances and speeches. It would be great to have him for an hour, Kay. I mean, if I could just get his name and number and pass that along, you know, because you should hear the bitterness. his bitterness, you know, when it comes to Trump.
If they are bitter, they have a right to be bitter.
Exactly.
They have a right to be bitter. I was, you know, we were right on that case. You know, that's when I was going to have to go in and out of being in Brooklyn, I think, some sort of assignment to them, you know. And that was one of the worst things that I could ever imagine to have happened to these guys, spending that amount of time in jail. And to think that the person who started that, Wayne and Byron, the person who took out that full-page ad in the New York Times calling for the arrest of these young boys who were running through Central Park. Boys.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even teenagers.
Right.
That was
they'll tell
Trump,
you. I mean,
and how many years in the jail did they spend?
Almost two decades.
Trump.
Yeah. And was against, dead set against them getting paid.
Go ahead.
It's shameful.
So, yeah. So, what? Now what do we do?
I don't know.
Trump. See, when you talk about Trump and you talk about this wonderful wedding, you know, with people coming together, you know, it's almost like, it's like the devil and a bunch of angels. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there was certainly a completely different, you know, mood that people were put in, anyone who was watching it, you know. And the thing is, I tuned in just as that black minister was able to, you know, speak. And I just thought it was just so great. You know, it was just a completely different dynamic altogether than what you would normally, you know, see or hear. You know, he was eloquent, he was to the point, and I just really felt that, you know, that he was doing something that it was not just about the wedding. He was preaching to the world. You know,
he was preaching to the world.
And I thought that was so symbolic.
Right.
Yes,
you know, one of the things that can't be denied is the linkage. Now, this is for those of us who are spiritually grounded. What's going on in our world with that pastor debunking and talking about the least of us being the most important of the royalty that was there to say that with your combined wealth and Illuminati experience, you all can do all. Hell of a lot more than just sit here and be patronage to a wedding of the royal family. This is bigger than that. Then you take that particular moment, which if you understand biblically what just went on, Christ's first miracle was at a wedding feast, turning water into wine. Now, this pastor, Episcopal bishop, from Chicago, being a man of the follower of the Prince of Peace, told the story from the Prince of Peace's own words. He gave that message to the world, like you said. Now, let's swing back to Revelation. Folks, what's going on over there in Hawaii? That's no joke. Mexico had a 5.2 earthquake 3 days ago. That's no joke.
Yes.
Better pay attention.
What's happening there, Byron? In Hawaii,
you have the volcano erupting, and it's not just ceasing; it's increasing. Those islands, and it's spewing, and you've got the potential for a tsunami off the Pacific coast, because once you have the tectonic plates shifting and the core melting and coming out, there is a huge geological transition that's going on that we're not even acknowledging with any kind of sincerity other than
fire.
You know, so we, yes.
I think that Hawaii is soon not to be anymore. from those kinds of you know, explosions on that island, I think we're seeing the beginning of the end of the island of the Hawaiian Islands, really.
And
it was my mother's
in the book of Revelation.
And
yes.
You know, it was my mother's favorite place to visit, and it was really beautiful. But it's not a very large place.
Paradise.
And with all the disruptions in the earth, with these volcanoes spewing up lava all around the island,
yes.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Not to mention
I hope it's
Fukushima.
Not the beginning of the end of that island.
Well, but you compound that with the continuing dumping of nuclear waste from Fukushima's disaster, it's still being dumped into the Pacific Ocean, and it is upsetting the ecology of that area, so that fish coming out of those waters are being told to not be on the market. There is now, if you look at the, whether you're spiritual or not, because every book written, no matter which religion you believe in, has an Armageddon. Okay.
Yeah.
So
based
on this Christian theology, this Christian Judaic and Muslim theology, the seals have been broken. And it's been said that it would not be a flood the next time. It'd be fire next time. So what's going on?
Yeah, that's
what
I heard.
What's really going on, my people? Okay.
Byron, I want to go to bed tonight and sleep. Now you
got
me
fired up. Go to bed and pray. Because now remember, here's the other equation that nobody wants to talk about. Above ground nuclear test made by this country was where? South Pacific.
Atolls.
Bingo.
Right.
You got Fukushima. You've got the atolls. You've got
and
the
dropping of the atomic bomb in Japan.
Of the atomic bomb. You've got the volcano erupting. And you've got a nut job who thinks he's going over to denuclearize North Korea. Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay.
Nobel Prize, anyone?
We're running out. Hold on, guys. We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. See,
we're
too
running
much
out
fun.
Of time here. I know.
Yeah,
but I
just
found
that Richard Pryor thing.
That wedding. The what?
No.
Wait a minute. I have something to tell you first.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Dedication of the Essex County Donald M. Payne. My brother-in-law, School of Technology, my nephew, really. His father, Donald M. Payne Sr., was my brother-in-law. Donald Payne Jr. is now, of course, the president congressman. School of Technology, his father. Donald M. Payne, School of Technology, on Monday, June 4th, 12 noon, at the Essex County Donald M. Payne School of Technology on West Market Street in Newark, New Jersey. People can RSVP by calling 973-621-4400. That's 973-621-4470. It's going to be a wonderful occasion. By the way, I don't know if you two have been downtown Newark lately, but you will be surprised. And with these 90 seconds, I would like to say congratulations to Ras Baraka, Mary Baraka's son, as mayor of Newark. He's really, Newark has come a long way. And Mary and Amina, when I had them on the air, Amina broke out in song. I said, "Will you sing?" And she just broke out into song because she's quite a vocalist, you know. So, but anyway, anyway, that's another story. So, you want to say something in 60 seconds?
Well,
here comes
Eric.
Yes, Eric.
Yeah, Eric hasn't said anything lately.
All righty. You guys are doing so good that I just let you know, go on and talk. I want to say we've come to the end of the show, K Thompson Live Show. I want to say thank you to Brother Byron Saunders, historian.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Man. Peace and love, my brothers. Peace and love.
All right. Well,
you know?
Thank you, sir. the legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Once again, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Well, it's always a pleasure on my end. I hope I get to sleep tonight after hearing Byron's, world of destruction the theories, but, you know, we'll see what happens, you know. But always
all right.
a pleasure.
Take care. Thank you, sir. Wayne Gilman. All right. This has been
okay.
the Kate Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can catch us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m., or the show is archived. So, you know, if you want to listen to some repeats, you can do that, too. Got to go. Trying to give you some music on the outro, but don't know what's happening with this computer. Mom has left the building, left the room. This has been the Kate Thompson Live Show. See you again next week, everybody. All right, now, have a good time. Have a good week. No music. Can't get it, but you feel the funk in a way. Good night.